Welcome to another episode of Business Fumbles. So as I said last week, we will be shining a light on the trucking industry. So I have another big wheeler as a guest today. And we will be talking about that industry, the issues, the ups and downs, and the pluses. So without further ado, we're going to have him introduce himself and his company.
I'm Blair McIntyre with Entire Services, and I'm just grateful to be here today to share some of my knowledge.
And we're happy to have you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Happy. Thank you for having me. So as we were talking before, you know, the episode, you were saying you had over 30 years. So what I want to hear from you is, in that 30 years, what type of changes do you see in the industry? And is it hurtful to the drivers, or, you know, is it something that's helping the drivers? What do you think?
I will have to start with, there is good and there's bad. Mm-hmm. There's the technology that has hurt it and also helped it. Mm-hmm. There is change in the teaching of, I would say, where we started far as the rules and regulations, mm-hmm. the language barrier, and the shippers and everything else. So technology has changed a lot. It has changed a whole lot. So I would start with that. The plus part is that it's available for everybody, and it's so easy to get into.
Do you feel that because it's so easy to get into that you encourage a lot? Do you think it's something that many people who have never thought of this should be trying? Or do you think there should be more of a demographic that's looking more towards trying to try this out? Or, well, how do you feel? Do you think it's something that, like, it's, this is like an entry level thing a lot of people should try to see if they vibe with?
Well, the first thing I would say, it's definitely a lifestyle. Depending, because you have to start first, and the starting process is morally the hardest part, because you have to be able to you have to get the experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is the hardest part, because during that time, that transition, you're going to do a lot of different changes. You may start off saying, hey, I want to work local. I can see these guys over here every day. They look like they're doing really well. They're slim, they're fit. But then when you go to get that job, they tell you, no, you need some experience. And the first thing they try to do is push you out on the road.
Yeah.
That means if you have a family, you have a lifestyle, everything is getting ready to change. That's the big part right there that people don't take in consideration.
Yeah.
And then the cost of it as well, it's going to cost you. You will make the money, but it's going to cost you at first. You're not going to see it because you're going to be making a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. That, those mistakes, they cost. And then you get in the middle of it and you're like, I'm wondering if this is for me. Yeah. Then you start hearing the truckers and you talk to people. And then that's where the problems really come. The doubts start slipping in. And before you know it, you're on a different path. You turn the needle to a different way. Mm-hmm. And you are now heading in the wrong direction. But your goal was to stay focused. This is what I wanted to do. I heard I can make a lot of money.
Yeah.
I heard that you can go different places, see different things. You can, but that's for the experienced person. That's not for the person that's just stepping right into it. Mm-hmm. It can happen. It has happened. I've had friends that successful overnight, mm-hmm. and I have friends that struggled, hated, even fatalities. They just quit right out of the door.
Yeah. You know, there was two things that I wanted to touch on that you just touched on. Number one, when they're starting off, I know that when my husband got his like many years ago, that was one thing that the instructor told him, you have to go out for a year. They want to see that you were on that road, over the road, driving for 1 year.
Yes.
So is that true still?
I would say yes, 100%. Because it's hard for the insurer, mm-hmm. to cover you, because you're considered high risk. You don't really know what you're doing and they're going to put you out there below. Local moves a lot faster than on the road. You have more of a chance to learn the feel of the road, the steering wheel, the truck. All of that is an equation. You have to add up that is going to give you that feeling and that confidence that you can complete the job. Mm-hmm. If I just put you out here in the local, your first car gonna cut off, you're gonna be upset, you're gonna be screaming, yelling.
Yeah.
You know, most people will look at the GPS, you know, I do myself, everybody does, and say, oh, it's only gonna take me 15 minutes to get there. But you have to compensate for all the other things. You're a big truck. Each time we move up in traffic, you got 3, 4, 5 cars jump in front of you. You have to learn along the way in the beginning to calm yourself down, because blood pressure is everything. This is why we have our physical. Calm yeah. yourself down. It's just a car. You're going to move. You just have to don't jump in the lanes. Don't yell at the cars. This is a lifestyle. This is not a game, and it's extremely difficult if you don't know what you're doing. Now, if you know what you're doing, you're used to it. A couple of cars jump in front of you. Okay, it's all right.
Yeah.
You know, you're still moving. You're still making progress. By the time you get to your destination, you look to the side, and the same car that was cutting you off be sitting right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yeah, you have to get that. That's really important because, you know, you said that you got to have that physical. I think we covered that with the other episode, but that physical, it determines how long you're going to drive. Like, my husband has high blood pressure, so he only get a year, I think. Sometimes he gets 2 years because mm-hmm. his blood pressure is good. But if you have blood pressure, diabetes, or whatever, you only get a short period before you have to go back in and get a physical. Before they allow you to drive.
Oh, I don't think he mentioned that about how often he has to go.
Oh, yeah. He has to go. Well, him, I just know because the last time he took his physical, they gave him 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But usually they only give him 6 months.
Oh, wow.
So let's explain why.
Yeah.
I want to tell you why. All right. So we're gonna step outside the boundaries real quick. Okay. People that have diabetes, first off, most of them, it's going to make you urine a lot more than you regularly do. So you trying to take a leak in the piss jug or mm-hmm. whatever while you drive, you can't pull over in 15, 20 minutes. Let's get real. So when you're trying to do this, now you've a hazard on the highway. But the people don't look at that. You're more thirsty. You're going to drink more. You're going to urine more. That's a probable cause of an accident. It's about mm-hmm. safety first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can do it. You can do it, you know, but everybody's parts are not the same. So some guys struggle, some guys don't. It takes a few minutes. Look yeah. down, boom, an accident. That's yeah. the real reason behind it.
Yeah.
That passing out behind the wheel.
Yeah.
I just had 3 incidents this week with friends that one passed out in the bathroom. He sent me pictures. What should I do? And then the other one, he said he got 30 days because when you go in, like if you go into a real place,
yeah.
what they're going to first thing to do is look at your weight. If your neck is too big, they're going to get you with sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. Then they're going to have you urine, not testing for drugs or anything like that. They're testing for sugar in the urine.
Mm-hmm.
Too much. If you pee in blood, that means that there is protein coming out of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got some major issues going on with your body. You can't get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can't drive that long. You're always hungry. Yep. Oh, we got major problems. You're not going to perform 100% mm-hmm. like you should.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
So it's going to cost you.
So for like newer drivers, when they first start doing this, obviously everyone gets a physical just to make sure you can drive a truck.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is it less often they go for that checkup? Like, depending on their health, of course.
But
like, typically, if they're healthy, they.
Yeah.
Well, you get 2 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's kind of weird because I got to do mine in November. And it's really weird because I don't remember doing it 2 years ago. I remember doing it. It seemed like it was 4 years, but mm-hmm. it comes around and then you got to pay it. Each place is different.
Yeah, okay. You got
to
pay.
Each place is different. You have to pay.
Oh, what?
Now, your insurance will pay for it, but they'll send you to a place that's. They're going to do more of testing. They're going to, that's when they hit you with sleep acne. We need you to bend down. We need you to do 5 jumping jacks and all this other. They have you jump through all these hoops just to make sure your physical condition, because what they're doing is they're signing for you. They're saying that you are okay. So if you don't pass it, and then you fall out behind the wheel,
they're going after that.
They're going after them. They'll go after, and how it works is we go after your insurance company. And if the insurance company doesn't pay or you have a boo-boo insurance company, mm-hmm. we go down the line. We go to the, we may go after the other truck company. The other truck company doesn't have it. Then they say, okay, let's go after the DOT people that, and, or they, mm-hmm. we'll try to go after the driver. So mm-hmm. they have a working, we all in business to do mm-hmm. this together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they in business to make money. If they can't get paid, they just go down the line until they find who has it.
They, yeah. they go down the like line of responsibility.
That's right.
Yeah. Even
that's
the right. company that you drive for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They that, go after it. And I know for him, when he takes his physical, what you describe, he, Winston has to automatically do that because he has the blood pressure issue.
Blood pressure, yeah.
You know, okay. and there he is absolutely right because they always checking him for sugar, but he doesn't have yeah. sugar, but they check him.
They check yeah.
him. They check sense. Him.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So does it, do you find that people who've worked in this industry gain problems that make them less viable for trucking? Like, is it, is definitely. There like workplace hazards that
definitely.
Cause that?
That's, yeah. that's what I meant by a different lifestyle. Now we're stepping into what I would put first, prefer as your eating, because eating mm-hmm. is not easy there. And yeah. I have friends that eat only at the restaurants where yeah. there's the healthier rather than eating at the truck stop. But
oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I would like to share this one thing. So I did a run for a friend. He's got his own truck. Say, hey, Blair, can you do this run, Georgia? I said, sure. Jumped in the truck, and halfway through the run, I started thinking about, like, wait a minute. We got 14 hours, and within that 14 hours, you got 11 hours of driving, mm-hmm. all right? You got to stop and get fuel. You have to drive the hours. You have to there was no, what I came up with to cut it all short, there's no time to sit down in a restaurant and eat your food the right proper way. Mm-hmm. There is no time to take a shower because mm-hmm. you're going to fight for parking and you're going to fight for getting to the destination.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So there is no room for nothing else. I don't know who put this together, but
this
it was
like
put
a,
together
like
a long
a company?
Time ago. This is the DOT regulation.
Yeah, the regulation.
Oh,
so
okay.
your
yeah.
hours of service, you got 11 hours. Let's do the math. You got 11 hours of driving. Out of 11 hours, you're going to do your pre-trip. And I put this on paper, which is obviously right in front of us on the e-log.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you got your 15 minutes. You say 15 minutes, but let's go with 30 minutes of walk around. But, you know, you can get away with 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. But if you're really checking tires, you're running this, oh, this tire need air. I need to wipe my window off so I can see. Wipe off the lights because they got stuff. They can't make sure to turn lights. They can see my turn lights and stuff like that. Going and getting fuel is a, you know, it's a waiting process because everybody, some people parking on the fuel island and whatnot. Getting in the truck stop sometimes is difficult. Getting out. So when do you have the time to sit on the toilet, mm-hmm. pass the meal from earlier? When do you have the time to take a shower or get something to eat? You don't.
You don't.
You only have time to eat while you're driving, use the bathroom while you're driving, and go to sleep if you can. Mm-hmm. This is a challenge because you got people pulling in, going out, you know, noise around the truck is difficult.
Well, when Winston went out, you know, on the road again, he was gone, like, I think it was 6 or 7 weeks on, and then he came home for 2 weeks, then 6 or 7 weeks on, and then he came home for a week or so. And I noticed that his clothes was getting tighter. His belly was sitting out. And you know how I am. I'm vocal. And I'm like, nuh-uh, you putting on too much weight. And he was like, well, what do you want me to do? So when he would come home, we would stock his refrigerator.
Okay.
So I made sure that he had things in there. And then, like, I took all of his credit cards, and he only had the one.
Just for emergencies?
So for emergencies, and it wasn't that much on it.
Okay.
You know? And I was like, this what you use to get fruit or something like that. And he would get it, but sometimes he would call me and be like, look, I really want to, you know, like, go to this restaurant. and eat, especially like if he was going through Louisiana.
Yeah.
He loved Louisiana food. Yeah, so,
food is so good.
Yeah. And I would tell him, okay, you can go ahead and do it. But when I did that, he started dropping the weight a little bit. Mm-hmm. But he is absolutely right. You don't have time. And then I took a trip with him. We drove from here to Virginia to go to our family reunion.
Okay. You drove? From here to Virginia?
I was in the truck.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And me and my grandkids, you know?
Yeah.
And we did the long haul trip. And, you know, we took the grandkids because they have a project where every state that they go in, they take a picture and when they put it in like a scrap.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Like, and so they have all of the states in there. But now they, you know, it was the wrong thing to do with them because now they're saying, well, we want to go to Africa. We want to go, you know. So
that's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Yeah. So I seen exactly what he said because I was in the truck with him and I was thinking too, like, you know, well, when are we going to stop and eat? And he was like, well, there's stuff in the refrigerator. I gotta get this many miles on because I only got this many more hours to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just noticed it because I'm in a truck with him for 4 or 5 days to get to that load. And it's exactly. And then when you stop driving, you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got to get your sleep and mm-hmm. prepare yourself for the next day. So it's really... That's what you're like. He said it's not a game.
Yeah, no. It's not enough time.
It's not a game.
But once you get back, I don't mean to cut you off, but once you get the experience, you can manipulate it. But that takes time. Like me, all of my family and friends, we call it fun trucking because mm-hmm. I'm doing something totally different because I have adapted to this lifestyle. It's
so
not.
What do you do?
Oh man,
I don't know
if it's legal for me to be talking about that, but you know, I'm in my boxer drawers. You know, I got the big old screen up there. I'm watching movies. You know, because let's get real. You know, they right now the biggest thing is in Georgia they got cameras now that can shoot down in the cars and trucks to seeing people on their phone. Most people mm-hmm. that's on their phones today are people in their 30s to their 50s.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because we tapped in far as like bills, responsibility, yeah. and now it's a habit now. You yeah. don't see people dancing in the car. Yeah, maybe now and then, but most people are tapped into their phones. I have adapted and been doing it for so long that one's here, one's there. I got one eye here, one eye there. It has became a way of doing things,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then I got cameras around my truck and I'm like, so I got loud music playing. I got a surround sound watching movies. I got popcorn going. Yeah, when everybody goes with me, we're having a good time. We're having a really good time. I mean, and then, like she said, hey, Louisiana is my go-to spot
yeah.
on the 10 because it's spicier than the 20. 20 yeah. is different than the 10 because it's higher up.
Oh, yeah.
It's on
yeah.
the bottom. So yeah. the food changes as you go lower.
Yeah.
Does 10, the 10 go through like Baton Rouge? Or like...
It does.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. No,
well, is it Baton Rouge or is it New Orleans?
New Orleans, yeah.
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 yeah. The bridge has been broken, so we don't go over that no more. A lot has changed with that.
But oh, really? Yeah.
So another thing I wanted to touch on, though, that you brought out in the first part was you said the technology.
Yeah.
So with the technology, how has that changed? How have it affected the jobs?
So the technology, when it first came about, I thought it was going to really hurt us. And I was really against it. Like, man, I don't want the e-logs. I don't want the change. I really don't want the change. But I looked at it from a different perspective because I got other family and other friends that do different jobs. And I'm like, man, I work so hard. I got a story. I'm going to probably put it on paper one day, but I can work accustomed now. I'm on military level. Basically, I can go 3 days just straight driving and working, fall asleep 15 minutes, back up. So That is not the right way to do it. That's the wrong way to do it, because what you're doing is you're beating your body up.
Down. Yeah.
All right. This is something we can't replace. All right. Mm-hmm. There's little tricks, that hacks you can do, but you can't make up for lost sleep time. It's just impossible. People say you can do it, but you can't. You can't. So when the e-logs came out, the first thing I said was, I don't like it. It's going to mess up the industry. But when I thought about the positive part was, hey, wait a minute. I can work my little hours, take me a break, work out a little bit, go to sleep, make it work. Now, if you do it the right way, you work for a company, make enough money to where you can work easy. Sometimes this can work really good. But what I did not see was the automatics. Because in order before to get into this business, if you couldn't drive a stick shift, you couldn't get in. It's just what it was. And I trained like 12 people. They all failed. They could not get the sequence of floating the gears, double clutching. They would tear up the transmission. They get stuck. They go to, you can float gears and double clutch going forward, but when you got to back into the dock, that's a whole nother ball game. There's no double clutching and going into it. You wear the clutch out, trucks broke down. That's going to cost you $2,000-$3,000 to get it fixed. Yeah. That was back then. Now we on a whole different ballgame. But what I'm saying is the technology got into the transmission that put people in the industry that really didn't have to pay their way in. It just kind of fell into it.
Yeah.
And that didn't develop any patience into the industry or the knowledge on when you turn the corner, how fast you should turn. If you now they got automatic, you just push the gas pedal, you turn the corner fast, you spill half the freight. you hit the sign, and then you get hung up. And I see these guys all the time online. They get hung up on something. They just keep going.
Just like,
yeah, they just trying to, but you can't do that with the stick shift. It's just not possible. It's going to stall. You got to really know how to do it. You got to know, and it's not going to do it the same way. So now you have developed something that's now, it's a dangerous machine, because now I can just push the pedal and do whatever I want to do.
And you see more accidents.
Oh, yeah. You're going to see way more, because you can fall asleep. You're not paying attention. If I'm on the phone and I'm watching the phone and I'm driving and I'm not paying attention, I really get into this movie or whatever I'm looking at. And my speed drops because I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing. I gotta shift the gear. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to do that anymore. It's gonna shift for you.
Yeah.
So now you could just fall asleep. Before you couldn't fall asleep behind the wheel. It would lug. You feel it. Oh, wow.
So it was making you work.
Yeah. It makes you responsive.
Yeah.
So I have the responsive in me already because I have adapted to it. So I even could drive automatic now. When it shifts, I feel like, oh, whoa, what happened? It shifts.
Yeah.
Even if somebody else is driving, I'm still going to feel it. It's very hard for me to sleep because I have adapted. Oh, it shifts. I can feel it. But with a stick shift, you're going to be more aware than the automatic. Automatic, you're just not going to do it.
I heard another person say that. Like, even my husband, he says that the reason why people can't back into docks and they can't, they going up and back and they just can't get it. They don't know how to cut. And he said it's because of what he's saying. He said when you do the stick with the way that they trained you before, you had no other choice. Mm-hmm. You had to figure it out and you had to learn how to do it. And he said, and so you could tell the old time drivers from the new drivers. Because the old time, when they get to a light, he say they know that they got to go how far they have to go out to make that turn. Mm-hmm. And then he said when they're parking, even if he said it can be the tightest spot, a old school person is going to know how to do it because they was trained the proper way.
There's a way to know how to like operate these machines. It's funny because you're right. This generation does not know. I'm a decent driver. My brother's slightly better than me, and I know that my dad's from New York, so you have to know how to back in and go into tight spots and everything like that. And my girlfriend, actually, she really good driver, best reverse parker I've ever seen. But it was funny. They don't teach you how to drive manual. My dad grew up on manual and everything. I remember one time I got my brother's friend's car. Her mother was a race car driver. I did not know this. The moment I saw this girl pull out of a lot, I went, no. You do not drive like everybody else in the generation. I was like, you know how this car is running. Yeah. How is that possible? And I noticed, I was like, you drive a manual. She was like 19. I was like, why are you driving a manual in 2015, 2016 at 19 years old? And she's just like, my mom does not let me drive anything else. Yeah. There is a way these things, they still have gears. Yeah, yeah. It's just, we don't see it. We don't deal with it. We don't drive with it. Everything hides it. She's like, my mom was like, you're going to know how this car runs. You're going to drive this car and you're going to take care of the car. And she goes, I can't unlearn it. I now understand. Like what you said, I can feel when it downshifts. I was like, oh, it just shifted gears.
Yeah.
Most of us, we just go through, it's like, oh, it slowed down. It's, like they don't know what's happening in the car at all. And I'm just like, no, you need to know these things.
A funny story on how I learned how to drive a stick. I probably shouldn't tell you because my husband's probably going to be like, I'm going to choke you. But we had two cars and mine was the automatic. He had a stick, Toyota Supra.
Okay.
And he would get up on the weekends and take my car. And he would be at his mom's and everything. And I would say, don't take my car because I got to go to wash. I got to take care of the kids and stuff like that. And I need to be able to leave when I need to be able to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But every weekend he would do it. And he caught me on one of those days that, you know how you wake up on the roadside of the bed?
Yep.
And I got up and I was like, I'm going to wash. And I look out the window and my car is gone and his car is there. So I take the keys. And we lived in the suburbs in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
He was on like the south side at his mom's house. And I got in the car and I packed the kids in there. And I drove from the suburbs all the way to the south side in two gears.
Oh, my goodness.
It was the first and second gear.
You stayed in second gear? You didn't go up loud?
I didn't go any because I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to drive it. And so by the time I made it to his mom's house, his car was smoking. I had ruined the clutch or whatever. I got out of his car.
Did it keep stalling on you while you were going?
Yep. And I got out of his car and it was smoking. His family was out in the backyard or whatever. And I got out of his car and I got in my car. And he was standing there with his mouth open. And I said, I told you not to take my car. And so he was so upset and he was like, I can't believe you did it. And I can't believe you took my car. I told you not to do it, you know? And so he got it fixed. And once he got it fixed, he said, okay, I'm going to teach you how to drive this stick. And he had me every single weekend, like learning it. And to this day, I can't lose it.
Yeah,
I get in a stick. I know how to drive it.
It's like riding a bike.
You can't lose it.
Yeah. It's you know, understand how a car works.
Yeah.
Once you learn it. That's
and
it.
That's how I learned it, you know? And so I know that it can be difficult.
Yeah.
You know, but I also know too, once you learn how to do a stick, it's totally different from an automatic.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have to, because you're constantly switching the shifts.
But you have an idea what's going on, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you get it.
Because some people drive automatics and the transmission will slip or it's in the wrong gear. They won't know. They just keep pushing. What's wrong with this thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm in the wrong gear. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I feel it, though, when it switches. I do.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the thing that bothers me. I know some people who, like, they'll go from reverse to drive real quick,
mm-hmm.
and then they just start hitting the gas and the car's not moving. I'm like, wait, let it move. Like, it's not, you can feel it's not switching yet. And they're like, why? What's wrong?
Right.
Which gives me anxiety.
So, also, you mentioned, too, about in the beginning, they make a lot of mistakes. What's some of those mistakes they make?
He's like, I have a list. Would you like me to pull it out?
The biggest mistake is going to be turning. That's just turning. That's the first thing as far as the driving part.
Because
you're going to go over a lot of curves. You're going to hit signs. I mean, everybody doesn't have that. Now things have changed a lot because the size of the truck, you know,
Shouldn't that be something that they train them when they're going for their CDL?
They do, but when you train, you don't train, and most of the time they don't train in a big truck with a load on it prepared for everything else. A lot of times they use these small 40-footers. It's like a 40-footer, but your average is a 53 truck and trailer is what you're going to be moving around. Sometimes they don't practice in that. Sometimes they do. And then they got somebody coaching them. And it's just, I think that it's just too fast. I think it should be a little time. They've changed it, though. They're working on it. Because now you have to take a new class where you have to pretty much ride jump seat for almost a year. But you got to pay for that before you get into it.
Okay.
All right. I don't know if you know about that.
What's that? Jump seat?
It's jump seat is like you're riding in the truck for a long period of time, but you're learning at the same time before you could take the written test and the physical and everything. Before you do anything, you have to first do another. I'm going to have to find out the information on it because I don't really know a whole lot about, and they just changed it. But you can't just go down. So when I got my license, I just went down to the DMV. I took the written test. Mm-hmm. And then they said, okay, now you got to get the physical. I went and took the physical the next day after I took the test. And then after that, they said, okay, schedule for a driving test. You took a driving test. You cannot do that anymore. Now you have to go through another party before you start that.
Oh, okay.
For the driving test?
For the driving test. You can't just take a driving test anymore.
Okay.
You have to go through another class, which is, I think it's $2,500.
And really? Then,
yeah, before you get in. So it's getting serious now.
How long's the class?
I think it's a year or 6 months. I'm not sure. You got
to it's like a course.
It's a course you have to take before you get in. So you take
Do they get paid while they're doing it?
No.
Oh. You're buying in. You're buying in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
You have to do that first before you could just get your license.
Well, a lot of they people won't be going into that industry.
Yeah.
Because that's too high of a cost.
Yeah. And then I was just reading day before yesterday, it was saying at the age of 68, got to look at my phone. And they were saying that now you have to come in and now redo the test now. They want you to take, some uncle was telling me the other day, said, man, I haven't took a test in so long. It's been decades, man.
And so you have to retake the test.
He has to retake the test. Like me, I haven't taken a test since, I want to say 90, maybe 90.
I'm about to date myself 98. Right now.
98?
I know.
No, I was like 98. I was 3.
98.
Yeah.
That's the last time I took a written test.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get any tickets, you don't have to take any tests.
Yeah, he never.
Yeah.
Winston never took it. He took the driving test, but then he also took all of the other tests.
Okay.
He got his hazmat.
Well, he got everything.
Everything. He did all of the tests.
Wow.
All at once.
Yeah.
You can never get a job in hazmat.
A fun fact. He got hazmat on his license.
Yeah.
If you ever get busted with a DUI or anything like that, you lose your license permanently.
I think that's completely fair. Permanent.
If you don't have that, if you don't have hazmat, you still have your car license.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think they remove your truck license. But I don't think DOT, I don't know anything about DUIs. I got 4 friends that got DUIs. They pretty much done.
Yeah.
So they can't drive anymore at all?
They can drive a car and knock you down to a C. Mm-hmm.
But they can't drive a truck?
No, they can't drive.
I wonder if
that's their
way of living.
In my opinion, I work in the food and beverage industry, and DUIs are very common because people will drink on the job and try to go home, and that happens a lot.
But wonder if they get it not on the job.
It still affects you. It still affects you.
It's still you. Because see, if you are a person willing to take that risk,
Because if you, for instance, if you have a truck and driving job and you get a ticket in your car and you're off on vacation, you have to notify the company within 3 days. If you don't, they fire you.
That's rough.
Yes, because you, because it's on your record. You get it? You're there. It's almost like,
but I ain't driving no truck.
It doesn't matter.
It's still your job. It's your life.
It doesn't matter. Just yeah. It's the same as, a truck driver can never go to traffic school. But you, if you don't have a CDL, you can. You get a speeding ticket down the street, you can go. I can't go because I have a CDL, commercial license. So I
can't. Why can't you go?
Because that's the law. You can't do that.
It makes sense because technically speaking,
you're a professional
point,
driver.
Yeah, if you have a CDL, why on earth would you need to prove yourself at traffic school? You should have known all of this.
You don't get
paid $2,500 now to get this license. You should know. Yeah.
Well, it's actually more than that, but that was just the new thing. Oh, but yeah. Just like
it's 25 plus.
Plus?
Yeah.
Never mind.
Because yeah, I know for you to go to the school, how much is it now to go to the school?
Some places it's 5, some places it's 7.
Yeah.
But what they try to do is they try to lock you in for the year so that you can work for them. And then, like, that's how I sent my brother. I was trying to train my brother how to drive a stick. Man, he was hard. My youngest brother, he said, it's just too much to do. It's too much to do. So I said, okay, I'm going to send you over there. I send him to CR England. Mm-hmm. And they took him in, and it was perfect for him. You drove automatic. He had to stay a year. After you stay a year, it's free. Mm-hmm. And then you can go on about your business. Because they're going to use you. They're going to make money. But he lived on the road. Then he said, I hate it.
Yeah.
He said he hated it. Yeah. But I did want to tell you, like, even like this law that is being pressed by the new president with Trump, the speaking English law that they have going on now.
They don't.
Yeah, they have. Yeah,
I thought that was just an executive
order. So in
order.
Arkansas, it's 100%. You
will
be ticketed.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You saying that there's a law now that you have to speak English?
Yes.
He can't do that.
This law has been in effect since the 1930s. This is what people don't know.
So he just...
What are you talking about?
And basically,
you go into stores now and you hear like Mexican music and stuff like that. Yeah. What are you talking about?
I think the states up until now, this is me speaking completely, just making it up. But like they've reserved the right to allow businesses to have a policy of other languages. But if I'm right, in federal legislature... There is technically a legal language. All laws have to at least be explained in English. So the default national language would technically be English. So I guess they can enforce that is the only language to be spoken.
So that's where you're saying he's going back to that.
Yeah, well, he's pushing it forward because this is the problem. Let me explain it. I want to say...
Yeah, you explained this.
Yeah, it's a little wild.
In 1999, I got pulled in New Mexico.
Okay.
All right. So I'm standing in there, and the guy's asking me for my paperwork. I already know. I better give him the folder. Everything's supposed to be in the folder so he can look. So he asked the guy behind me, and the guy was like, he didn't understand anything he said. He said, can you give me your registration, driver's license, proof of insurance, blah, blah. He didn't know anything. He said, where are you going? Where are you headed? He said, California. He said, what are you hauling? California. This was a long time ago, like I said, in 99. He said, so what is your name? He looked around, and I felt sorry for him because he's working just like me. Mm-hmm. Couldn't figure it out. He couldn't understand what the guy. So in these states in Arkansas now on 40, I don't know if you want to, what road y'all go across?
I don't know.
So on the 40 now, you have a lot of different nationalities out here. You got a lot. You got everything. So now you got to have a DOT for everything. And these guys will sit here. I've seen guys use in the scale house, try to use Google Translate. Google Translate will give up too because it can't get, it's not 100%.
Yeah.
So when you're trying to ask this, you're trying to communicate with the driver, he can't communicate with you. You can't communicate with him. This is a problem. This is a huge problem. So I can't really, all I could do now is just write you a ticket and let you go.
Right.
You see what I mean? So I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but they should have at least a little understanding where you can, I mean, they're doing it now. Schools are doing it now. They're training them to show, you know, this is a lug nut. The lug nut is loose. This is that. But the biggest part is they don't have enough knowledge to communicate with the DOT officer. So if I ask you, what are you hauling? And you just say, I'm going to California. That's going to cause a problem. We don't know what you have. Where's your bill of lading? So the bill of lading is in English. It's not in no other language. And I can't push it on the Spanish. There's nothing wrong with, you still have Chinese, Asian culture. You have the Indian culture. You have people.
Pakistan.
Yeah, because, you know, what I do is I haul cars.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to speak to, I had a friend. We had a problem the other day. His car ran out of gas. So we try to tell him, hey, man, when we drop your car off, we're going to meet you at Walmart. You need to bring some gas because we're not bringing no gas. We just going to move from here to here. And while we started it up, while he started it up, but the guy is from Haiti, so he speak French.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm trying to figure out, because I hear him talking, I'm trying to figure out what dialect is he speaking, because I can't figure it out. So I had to let Gemini. Meta.
Oh, Meta.
I had to let Meta tell me what it was, because I don't know what it is. So this is, but then you find guys in the trucks, same situation. So if you don't know how to read all of this, how are you going to get to your destination? How are you going to put fuel in the truck? How are you going to pay for it? How are you going to read all the things you have to read to operate?
But don't they use the translator?
They do, but
they have the translator for everything now.
It's not one-to-one. Yeah.
Yes.
There are some things that we say in one language that if you translated it literally to the other, it wouldn't make it. There's no word. It wouldn't make sense. It's not how they say it in that language. Yeah. Like, just a random one in Spanish, to say everyone, you say the whole world. That's the literal phrase that you have to say everyone, which I'm like, that's such an extreme thing. That's just what they say in Spanish. And so there's a lot of phrases like that in every language.
Wow. I know I have a little frustrations with some of my clients because they don't speak English and they come in and they use the Google Translator. But when I read it, I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
What? I don't get it.
Because of what he's saying.
And so then I call someone that speaks Spanish because I have a lot of friends that speak Spanish. Or like we have people from Ukraine and Russia.
Mm-hmm.
But I have an employee that speaks Russian. So I'm like, hey, can you take that? And they're speaking their language. I don't know what they're saying, but she can take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do see that. I understand that. But I can't believe that he's literally
making it. It's $10,000, too.
$10,000
to the company. To the company.
What do you mean?
If they catch you driving, this just happened. You can look it up.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Come on.
We need
context.
What do you mean? Yeah.
What are you talking about?
$10,000, man.
$10,000 for what?
It's the fine. If you have a driver that, okay, you got a trucking company. Yeah. You send a driver to New York right now. He gets stopped in Arkansas today, right now, and he does not be able, he cannot speak the language here, English. And he can't communicate, that's a $10,000 ticket to the company.
That's crazy.
Right now. And you put out a service until you get somebody there.
That part.
Because I was thinking about.
No, wait a minute. They won't let the truck leave?
No, you put out a service right then and there. Right now.
So now they got to pay somebody to go and get that truck?
Yes, I was thinking about opening up a small company just to travel.
That's crazy.
I was thinking about it yesterday. And I was looking at how much it would be.
Yeah.
You know, but the way the world is changing, we in a transition.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the community, before you can deal with a flight, but now it's going to cost you. Because I got some stuff right now doing some Amazon stuff. I can go and moving the servers because the transition now is the warehouse getting ready to eliminate the people inside. And now all the robots.
Wait a minute, hold on. You say Amazon is getting ready to eliminate the people.
They've already did a lot of it already.
So they're going to eliminate the people inside?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's easier to have a robot load and build. Because I've already dealt with this. This was like before COVID. I had Bob. His name is Bob. Is a robot. You pull up to the window here in Arizona. I pick the water up in Arizona. I bring it here to Costco, Sam's Club. When I get to the booth, I pull up. It's like a drive-through. I pull in there. The lady can see me. I can't see the lady. She asks me my information. I give her my pickup number. She has an accent. I can hear a rooster in the background. This lady's in the Philippines, okay? she's speaking the dialect. So she says, pull forward, open your doors, slide your tabs to the back, bag in the door three, you'll get a red light. After the red light, you'll get a green light. So I see the doors, they're kind of like they have screens up. And I'm thinking, wow, I don't see nobody. I don't hear nothing. It's quiet here. All of a sudden they load my trailer. I'm really picky about my trailer because I, you know, this, I haul cars in the same trailer.
Yeah.
So this forklift came in so smooth. I mean, I could barely feel it. It put it down. I turned my camera on. I got a camera in the trailer. I look back. It's a robot. It put it over. It moves it real, sets it down, pulls back out, loads me up within 15 minutes. I get a green light. She said, when you get a green light, pull to the exit. I pull to the exit. Then when you pull to the exit, there's a little booth. Looks like a little office, something like this, a window like that. It says, take one in English and Spanish. But this not, we're not in English and Spanish no more. We got multi-relationship, nationalities here. Mm-hmm. Take one paper, one seal, and close the door and put the seal on. I closed the door, put the seal on, took my paper, went to the computer, pushed my stuff. It printed out my bills. Then the gate opened for me to leave out of facility. I didn't deal with nobody.
Like a car wash. You just kind of like went straight through, just did everything.
It was fast, quick.
But they were saying that this new way of doing things and this whatever is going to take away people's jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, because they already have the automatic trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The automatic trucks, I think, will take a very, very, very long time. After Elon Musk put up the satellites, you know, like it's like 60 going up a day or whatever he sends up.
He's putting up a lot and he's trying to create that internet. And it's helping a lot of places to get a lot of internet that they can't get. So he's connecting a lot of spots. The thing is, before they get automatic trucks, because trucks is way harder, they need to get the automatic cars. And they just, literally like a week or two ago, dating this video, just barely came out with like robo-taxis in select cities like Austin and San Francisco and stuff like that to go up against Waymo. The robots, and again, they only work in very, very specific areas. To get a truck to go across the country and deal with all whatever it's going to deal with, all those places, they don't have enough. They need to start actually getting data on the truck drivers, what they run into every day, the roads out there in the middle of nowhere. And then maybe, I think, honestly, if this world doesn't blow up, we're at least 15 years away from that. 10, 15 years.
We close, though.
This is really good.
I want to.
Because with what you're saying, what would be your advice to the truck drivers now to prepare them for these huge changes? What do you think that they should, how do you think that they should move forward? What do you think that they need to do to guarantee their spots to make that money?
Invest in the information before you invest in just doing it. They need to spend more time learning about how this works. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been doing all this time. If you say you want to start a trucking business right now, mm-hmm. if I was to ask you, you live here, what does Las Vegas produce as a product?
Las Vegas?
Yes.
They got farms here. They got farms, but I think that Las Vegas is mostly like, it's got to be more like IT or something like that, because California is the same thing. They have a lot of company that produce these little chips and things like that.
I know for a fact California is like literally the agricultural state of America next to like all the corn.
Well, they have they have that too, but what I'm saying is they also... If you look and research, you have a lot of those businesses that's coming up quick.
Yeah.
That's dealing with IT or whatever. Yeah. But Las Vegas, I really don't know. They got so much stuff going on.
You're talking about like a product that like ships?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do they have here? Like you said, number one, that's a big, big point. The agriculture. Is what California has.
They ship a lot of that.
And then they have everything that comes from the Eastern Seaboard. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the reason why nothing comes on the East Coast is because the water's too shallow. Mm-hmm. So the ships can't come in that way. Coming in through the Panama Canal, that was one way, but it cost a lot. You have to flood it. That's a whole nother story. But that affects us as well. If you know how it works, you can see something coming. Like me, I know when prices are going to jump or when they're going to drop, because Well, what happens is, if there's storms are created in the ocean. Mm-hmm. Ships have to come across. It used to take them a long time, all right? They're pretty fast now, but they got bigger ships now that still have to do that way. They got other kind that come around through the Panama Canal. They have to take water and they flood it to get the ship across the Panama Canal. It's like mm-hmm. it goes in between a trail like this trail right here, and it pulls it through. And then
how do they flood it?
They flood it with natural rainwater.
Mm-hmm. They it like basically I've seen like the diagrams. Like basically the ship comes in one side, the water levels are not quite like even.
Right.
They got two walls. You come through the first wall, the water's even. And then after this wall closes, they either raise it or lower it wherever it is on the other side, and then you can go that way instead of it just rushing through the canal to whatever's lower and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They control the water based on what's naturally flowing.
But they take it from the people that's there too.
Yes.
They're hurting that. So if you don't have a rainy season, mm-hmm. they're not going to ship that many ships through there. All gas, everything comes through there. Everything comes through there, and we have to pay for that. It's like, I think it's something like 10 million. 20 million, something like that. But now the ships are so big now, they can't fit through there.
Oh, I didn't
Some
know that.
Of them are bigger.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So now you can't bring anything in through New York and stuff like that because the water's too shallow. So we have deeper waters in the ocean. So based on the climate, how it works and how it happens, how things are moving, you can tell that, there's not going to be that much freight. It's going to slow down. Like, I knew it wasn't going to be that much fireworks. It wasn't that much fireworks this year because of the things that Trump had going on with, you know, that's big business above our pay grade. Mm-hmm. We don't have to talk about that. But but how that works is we didn't have that many fireworks. They wasn't people popping them months and months and months of before or after because it was a shortage. You see what I mean? But when you bought them, you paid double. You think that, they just make the price go up? No. It's all controlled, and it's all based on what's going on.
So I need to touch on, it's something that you said. I had it there, and now it's gone.
I'm so sorry. Oh, no.
But I could, because it was really good. But since you brought that up, how do you think the tariffs and stuff is going to affect that industry? Because that shipping is where tariffs is going to hit.
Is there less work for truck drivers getting stuff in from importers to haul across and stuff like that because of this?
It is, but it's kind of like now it's put it like this. CalFormer just went out of business. I think CalFormer is a big trucking company. I watch this stuff on a daily basis.
Yeah, YR went out of business right?
So what I was telling you in the transition, most of the big companies will shut down.
Why?
Because it's not structured for that. It's structured for owner-operators now because owner-operators have flooded the market during 2020.
But the owner-operator's not making no money.
They're not making the money. That's true. That's true.
So how?
Because they can't stand together. If we can get the people to stand together, then they can change things. But there's greedy people taking off the top. There's people cutting rates.
Yeah.
This is the problem. This has always been the problem. There's 15 people standing in your job behind you trying to get your job. Mm-hmm. So the knowledge has to be known, like I asked you before. Las Vegas produces one product that I know about. They
What's
produce
that?
Drywall, the stuff that's holding this building together.
I was that's about it. To say, I was like, I know we have a lot of like maybe like stone drywall.
This is a retirement state.
Yeah, yeah.
This is
a
retirement state. People need not to change that concept. And I hate to be the one, because I don't know everything. I'm not the smartest person. But I've seen it fall, and I will tell my uncle, because he's a lot older, I would say certain states create certain things. They're different countries. They have different rules, different regulations. So this state, when the economy falls, this state falls hard. It falls really hard.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Because it doesn't accumulate nothing, you know. So
that's what my husband was saying. I'm sorry, but was saying that they're bringing the teens and stuff here, which is creating, you know, like jobs or whatever. He said, but it's not going to last because we're not we don't have something that's big here that they're creating here.
There's like,
that's what he's saying.
There's only like three, four markets. We have tourism, which goes down when the economy goes down.
Right.
We have housing, which goes down when the economy goes down, which we ran into. They're trying to industrialize. They're trying to make this like Phoenix 2.0, how Phoenix is a huge transport hub.
That's right.
They're trying to do that here. And I see that up on the north in the 15. Yeah. They're trying to do a lot of that stuff there. Again, if economy goes down, you're not transporting. Your factories are doing less work. That's why they're trying to put robots in so they don't have to worry about people's jobs. So there's that. That can go down. The last thing I think is just services, like natural services, like water and electricity. They do produce a lot of energy. The solar farms here and like the water that we get from the Hoover Dam, California needs that water. In fact, not America.
Why would California need it?
They need it for the agriculture. They need it for the land. They don't make enough water because they live
going down.
That's because of California taking it. In fact, they've proven we have gotten in Las Vegas, don't call me on the number, but I believe it's 10 times more water efficient in the last 30 years. Our usage has gone down and the population has gone up.
Yeah,
and the reason for that is because Vegas was like, we only have so much water. We got to be smart about it. But then all the other Utah, Phoenix, California is like, we need water, and you guys are the only big watershed of natural water that we can use.
But didn't they try to get water from Colorado and they said no?
Yeah.
Vegas?
I believe. Oh,
there's
Vegas?
Six states that get it before we get it here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's a dam being built right now, started in 2022. It's being built, I think, in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working on it right now. I was just watching it the other day. And that's going to hold the reserve. But yeah. Because they have to build the place first to have this place maintained.
Yeah.
If they could, you ever played those games before when you're on the farm and you build this? And you know what I'm talking about?
I think I know what you're talking about, where it's like you have to get this built to a certain level before you could like start building
that's
out
right.
or something like that.
Yeah. That's what Las Vegas is trying to do.
Yeah.
The problem is the rules, you know more than anybody because of the tax situation.
Yeah.
The rules apply different. If you notice, all the companies are leaving, coming here, a lot of them, mm-hmm. because the tax bracket is different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to move the people. The problem that I do see that is, if the economy we don't set the pace for the world. I mean, for the United States.
Yeah.
So if the United States starts to slip, then let's hope not that happen. Vegas still don't create anything because the casinos are what we have. Then the Airbnbs put a big hurting. So that's why they got
Airbnb been hit though.
Yeah, they've been
because
hit with
of the mob.
The
want
fine,
they money right? them people to stay at them hotels. I ain't stupid.
But didn't they charge? Don't they charge for that now?
What?
Like if you have you turn your house into an Airbnb, you got to pay for it now, right?
No, they not letting you.
Oh, they not letting.
They
you.
Not letting
oh,
you.
See, I
to
didn't know.
Be
that's
an Airbnb
new.
In Las Vegas, you gotta have your house has to have. Only 3 bedrooms. If you have 4 bedrooms, it doesn't qualify.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's limitations on Airbnb.
Yeah, number one. Oh. Number two.
Oh, so they're trying to stop luxury Airbnbs.
They're stopping the Airbnb. Okay. Now they just came up with another rule that if you have an Airbnb, you can't be on the Airbnb site unless you have a business license and a business.
Right.
Because some people didn't have that.
Yeah.
And I just had one of my clients.
Yeah.
They shut his whole site down.
Wow.
Because he didn't have a business thing. So I had to make up him a business, get the license, put all of that. And then they wanted the location of the business. They wanted the business phone number. It couldn't be your personal home. It could not
be
your
like
personal phone.
Business, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They wanted to be a real business. And a lot of this happened because the casinos was losing a lot of money from people staying there because everybody wanted to do the Airbnb. Because a lot of people was renting apartments and they was making that Airbnb.
I didn't know they could do that. I could know
you
could do that.
Yeah.
My son did it.
Yeah.
He had like several locations and he was making bank.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It was cheaper to do your apartments on Airbnb than to actually use it as a rental because people were paying inflated rates for a couple days. You could get someone in there for 2 weekends. You made more than the rent that if you let someone stay there for 30 days. So it was like.
And a lot of people.
Man,
and they lost that. And a lot of people right now that got Airbnbs, I know a person that has, oh my God, he got mm-hmm. so many houses. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to say here about 40.
Don't get me started, though.
Yeah, he had to move it.
We'll stay on the industry. We'll stay on trucks and work and living in Las Vegas. At the risk of getting banned from ever getting a sponsorship from Airbnb. I have an account. I use Airbnb. I think Airbnb has really hurt not just industries in general, but also home buying and renting and everything. I really think Airbnb was more of a net negative than it was a positive. I love it. I've used it. I've enjoyed staying at Airbnbs. But I don't think I think eventually something needs to be changed about it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's good that
people, it's changing here in Las Vegas. You can't do it. I'm telling you, it put a lot of people out of business.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. When things like that will affect the trucking industry and the truck drivers here, because only thing that really keep this place moving is trade show. So if
trade shows are down.
If you live here, but it's seasonal. So it's not in the summer. It's not happening.
No.
But FEMA and all the other big people that come here.
SEMA.
Is it SEMA or FEMA?
It's SEMA.
It's SEMA.
You good.
Yeah. So those jobs are what the jobs that I see new companies, because I could look at your DOT and tell how long you've been in business. I see these companies. We hired a guy the other day because we're moving data things. We're moving the data centers to different places, locations. But these guys showed up. They didn't have enough work. So one guy's local. He works. They have Las Vegas show on their truck. So that's their main business. Then they have the other guy that goes out on the road and he gets paid. He was telling me he get paid by the hour. I'm like, how is that possible? But he's getting paid by the hours that he drive, not the hours he sit. So some trucking companies are getting crafty because it's not enough money for a trucking company to prosper. It's just not enough in it. Based on your insurance and your fuel, that's taking majority of the money right there. So you need, for like an owner operator, they need to reconstruct it for like an owner operator that's going to take care of his own vehicle, that he makes enough and it's going to be separated. Or you know anybody, your percentage, this has to come out for the truck that has to come out for fuel, this has to come out for the driver. If it's not structured like that, you already out of business because you don't have a business plan.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you can go to a trucking company and you can sit down and you can look. I can go in there and I just looked at a big company here and I looked inside and she was telling me, no, we want you in the office. We don't want you in the truck. I'm like, huh? Excuse me? I already applied for the truck. I'm just going to try it out and, you know, if I like it, I'll do it. If not, because I was kind of hesitant because I don't like the camera in my face and I don't like the camera. I don't mind it on the outside, but when it's in the truck, we got a problem because the people that run that thing is a random person living in his house, sitting in his computer at home job. So whenever you hit the gas too fast or the brake too fast, the light comes on. That means it's recording. And that means the person sitting in the house, like they could be sitting right here looking at that screen, and it'll come on and he can see the driver, he can see what the driver's doing, and he can hear what the driver's doing because that's connected to the company.
I wouldn't like that either.
You know what I'm talking about? You understand what I mean?
It's very Big Brother-esque.
Like so you have a camera facing forward and you have one inside the truck.
Yeah.
So if somebody cuts you off, it turns the camera on. It turns both cameras both way. It's recording and you got a person listening and talking to you. You may be cussing and saying racial slurs or whatever, but you got this random person that I don't know. It's not the company that I work for. It's the company. It's an outside third party. Yeah, that they do. I didn't like that. I was like, no, I don't know, but I'll go ahead and do the job. But when I got in and seeing the layout and how things are running, it's outdated. It is truly outdated. You got this person over here doing nothing. You got this person over here. You got the shop guy just walking around, smoking a cigarette. Wait a minute. This business is already out of business. They just don't know it yet. Because they're operating an old way that the software hasn't been updated.
Yeah. So that's one thing that I say. You know, we live in a society right now that technology is changing. It is evolving by the second.
Yes.
And if you are not able to keep up with that, you will get left behind and you will be out of business.
That's right.
It's like right now with me, we got this AI. So now I'm going to put it out there. I could create financials. I can drop it into that AI and say, spit me this out. I don't have to spend time creating it.
Exactly.
It spits it out and then I send it off.
Mm-hmm.
How many jobs is that eliminating?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All you do is you just need a proofreader. You just make sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's all right. Yeah, you're good.
Yep.
And then just send it off.
And it's good. And you go. You just make sure that the numbers are there. Like, oh, yeah, this is perfect. We used to have to put together quotes. Now I tell AI, I need a quote for this company.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me the quote with all my information on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it breaks down how much you getting charged, why you getting charged that.
Yeah.
And all I got to do is print it and hand it to him or email it.
I got to say, it's
all
crazy.
Of a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. So I get what you're saying. But you know what? We have went over again. And this is so good. And it's so much information that
it is.
I want to cover. That we don't have time, but what we're doing with the trucking industry, because I feel that the trucking industry is one of the most important jobs that's out there, because it's in the transportation industry, number one. Number two, they work hard. Mm-hmm. These drivers, they put their life on the line to transport things to get to the consumer. And people don't understand that, and they're cheated, they're underpaid, and then their system is overly manipulated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want to put that on, I want to put that on blast, because I want to talk about it. I want to get everybody else talking about it. And if the more and more that we talk about it, the more and more people like him and other drivers can come together and secure and make that change, because they should get paid what they're worth and they should be respected for what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they're not. Like he explained, you cutting people off. When we were coming back from our trip, one person that was in the car said, "What is this truck doing?" Because it was off on the rest side, but then it was coming back on, and it was driving slow. And so they were like, "He's gonna come over on us." And I was like, "No, he's not. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's driving slowly, and then he's gonna merge in as he see that he can."
Right.
And you guys to make their job easy, all you gotta do is when you see that, move over and allow them to do their job, because they're transporting things that you need in those stores to buy or whatever it is that they're doing. Mm-hmm. Even if it's like to build a house or to put some rocks on the road, move over, respect them as a truck driver and respect their job.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So next week we're going to have someone else for the trucking company, and then the last show is going to be all of them coming back and we all talking about this, and we're going to touch more, because then everybody is going to be like, "Yeah, and they did this and they did that." And we're going to make this good, because it's very important to shine a light on this. And before we shut down, if you can let them know how to get in contact with you, if they got any questions, or maybe you can help newcomers come in. Mm-hmm. How can they get in contact with you so that you can help them?
Oh, man. Wasn't ready for that one.
We did say we'd be candid.
Just give them your business email.
Yeah, business info.
Yeah, email is info@entireservices.co.
Yeah.
That's it.
And you guys can email him. Yeah, we'll make sure that it's on the thing so that you can email him questions. And he's a busy man, so hopefully he'll get back to you. But
I got all the news. I give it all for free.
Yeah.
I got a whole lot. I had to be careful because, a lot of it's things that, that we really don't talk about, like the importance of, like, how many people you've seen with flip-flops on? When you was with him, well, you guys didn't do a lot of stopping.
I seen a lot.
So you have to have hard shoes to drive the truck. I know I said I drive in boxes on fun trucking, but I used to get pulled over, and I used to get in trouble for everything. I started when Texas was 55 miles an hour all the way across. So it would take me 2.5 days to get across. Now the speed limit is 80 in some places. Yeah. And then, you know, so I started when, you know, you had the cell phone, you had to stop and call, tell the broker, hey, I'm here. So the way technology has changed it now with the cell phone, they can track you, has made it so easy. If I had to do it the way I had to do it before, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it. It's just too much work. It's a lot of work.
But that's things that we have to talk about because, I said, there's a lot of accidents. There's a lot of things that's happening. And it's like, you know, we have become accustomed to quick. Everything has to be quick.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we even with, like, now when we doing videos, it has to be 30 seconds. People lose their interest.
Yeah.
You know, everything is fast, fast, fast.
Well, you have to tell all the bad stuff. They want to hit people. I don't know what it is. People love to hear the negative. Even if you don't like it, you want to at least get a taste of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's what catches people. You know, I could have started with that, but I don't like doing that because that's a bad vibration, bad energy, and you're attracting something you should not be playing with because it can now affect you if it don't go out and the person that's hearing it hear it the same way and then they absorb it as well.
Yeah. Yep.
So I hate to really use that, but sometimes that's what it takes, which is...
That's what our society
and
is.
And I will say this for the last point. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why our truck speedometers will say 80, 90 miles an hour, but look how many people you would put out of business if we fixed the road, which can be fixed. Don't get me wrong. Trucks can stop and move out of the way because they have all this in the trucks now. They'll veer to the left, to the right, slow down, stop, move. But you would now stop the police officer, the insurance guy, the paramedic, you would put so many people out of business if we stopped crashing.
Yeah.
So I heard a guy during COVID said, man, if I can land one insurance with a T-bone, I'm good. But right now there's no accidents during COVID in 2020. And he was driving for Uber. He was taking me to the truck stop. He said, man, I do insurance and we haven't had no accidents. It's been good, but it's terrible for business. Yeah. That's the bad part.
That's sad to say.
It is the dark reality of the world that we live in. A lot of business relies on things going wrong.
Yeah.
And if we lived in
Look
a better...
Look how many people you put out of business.
If we lived in a better world, if we didn't need doctors, if we didn't need lawyers because nobody broke laws, if we didn't have paramedics because nobody got in crashes...
That's right.
A lot less jobs. So it's if we want a better world, we have to realize we need to change the whole system.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So I say invest in your time and your business and what you do, where you're going, and where you're coming out of, where they're getting ready to send you. And then, you know, look up the company before you work for them. Yeah. Don't just work for anybody. Oh, I pay this, I pay that. But there's no profit in it because they're going to send you in an area where you're going to be sitting for 2 days, be driving trucks that's dirty, people smoking, you don't want smoke, bed bugs in your mattress. Oh my God, I can go on and on.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad. True. It can be really bad. I've seen drivers go out and come back beat up.
And that's what our society lacks. They just quick to accept. They don't research. You know, they don't do the homework.
It's free. I mean,
I know it's free, but they don't do it.
We didn't have it growing up. We had to look at a book.
Yeah.
And you had to have you had to live in the right area, the right place to get the right information just to find out how to do anything. Now you can go on the smartphone and ask the phone anything. Don't act dumb when you got to start a smartphone in your hand. You can ask your phone. You can have a 2-hour conversation with this phone now. I got the Meta glasses. I'll be on there asking any question. It will just break it down.
Yeah.
And I had a 30-minute conversation, and my son was saying, "Who is you talking to?" I'm like,
computer talking to me.
I can't ask you nothing because you keep saying you don't know. So I had to go to Meta.
Yeah, but a lot of people, you are so right. But I'm telling you, a lot of people don't do the research and they don't ask questions. I get so many people come into this office saying, I want to start an LLC because I seen this video and this video said this or that. Or I have people all the time. Oh, I want to come in. I want to start my LLC and I want you to help me be like Trump. I was like, oh, you want to file bankruptcy? Is that what you want to do? They don't do the research.
Yeah. And that was my biggest,
they just don't. And you can. It's free. It's people, free. It's free.
Yeah.
Because you can put one question in there, and it's going to give you a slew, like all this information. Yeah. And you can go through each one of them.
You don't even
some
have
of
to
it
read
is
it.
Not factual. No.
That's the crazy
part. They'll read it to you.
Yeah, you don't even have to read it anymore. So I'm like, this thing is. And I don't even know how it knows, it's a lot of it's like, and my heart goes out to it. Look, all the truck drivers I knew, including myself, I was a late starter too. A lot of us was what you want to say illiterate because mm-hmm. of, we just don't know. Okay. Right. And what I mean by illiterate is the reading and writing was slow for me as well too. Okay. Mm-hmm. So a lot of truck drivers, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of them out there that cannot read and write. This is going to affect them as well. This is in Texas right now. This new law I was telling you about, it's going to be here too in a minute. It's going to be on the West Coast in California too. Mm-hmm. If you can't read and write, because you have to be able to read this thing, you have to be able to write it out and spell the words correctly as well. If you can't do that, read and write, then we're going to have to shut you down.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I looked at it in the middle of the podcast. That's a hard reality. They're basically enforcing, you have to be able to do that. You can have other people know other languages and operate in those other languages, but they still need to know to read and write and operate in English as well. But yeah.
I have to.
Oh, no, you're good.
Yeah, Chief. Hello? Yeah. Yeah, she wins bookkeeping.
Keeping.
Yeah.
We might cut this and make a side thing.
Sahara. S A H A R A. Yeah. And it's sweet 202. Okay, it's sweet 202. Yeah. Oh, that's a Sunday. It can't be there on the 14th. We not open on Sundays.
Thursday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, somebody will be here. That's fine. That's fine.
Oh, you got a sign for
okay,
you.
I gotta go. Mm-hmm. I'll call y'all back. Okay, bye. She was shipping something. So I'm sorry, y'all.
You're good.
Thank you guys for listening in to another episode of Business Fumbles. And if you have a story or you want to come in and you want to sit on this couch, please, hit us up. You can send us an email. You can comment on the video itself and say that you would like to be a guest, because we want everyone that has a story. We want you guys to come and we want you to tell your story. We want to hear your story. We want to hear your mistakes. We want to hear your whole journey into your entrepreneurship, because as I always say, and I will say it again, education, okay? Stories, your experiences, all of it means nothing if it's not shared. So come share with us.
All right.